Good morning. Welcome to morning worship on this first Sunday in February. It's already beginning to feel like spring, isn't it? Spring is upon us, praise the Lord. And the new life we see around us reminds us of the miracle of life, the wonder of God's creation, also reminds us of how God offers us all new life in Christ, life in all its fullness. Hallelujah. So welcome in the name of Jesus. And let's now welcome our Zoomers. Our Zoomers are here to remind us that Carey Baptist Church is more than just those who are able to come here on a Sunday morning. Together we are Carey Baptist Church. So let's welcome our Zoomers this morning. Oh, we've got Christine, Hillary, Pat, Norman. And teen bollocks of it, I think, but we can't see teen at the moment. But yeah, okay. So we've got two Christines, which is good. Yeah, and we've got more Christines here. So yeah, welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. It's good to see your lovely smiling faces. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to start our worship this morning with some sounds of lament, a song of lament. The psalmist often began worship with lament. With looking at how the world was around them. And that's really where we start as well, isn't it? We have to be honest about where we are, where our world is. So here, the song of our lament is our opening song of worship for us to listen to. Reading on the BBC News app this morning of a forest fire in Chile. Over 50 people killed there, and it's actually from a region that's the most beautiful part of Chile. Chris and I worked for the South American Missionary Society back in the 90s, back in the day, and my boss, who was then became a bishop, was a missionary out in that area, and he often spoke how beautiful that area of Chile was. Let's pray. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us all, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the wonder of creation. We thank you for each other. We thank you for your Holy Spirit at work within our world. We pray, Lord, that you would do a new work within us, within each of us, within our church, within our town, within our world, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy towards us. Amen. In today's story from John's Gospel, a guy called Nathanael says this. He exclaims this: "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It's quite a funny thing to reflect upon, isn't it, really? Now, I've heard people say a similar thing about our town, mostly people not from Hemel Hempstead, but not always. Remember these? I love Hemel mugs. We created these for a reason, to remind ourselves, firstly, there's lots to love about Hemel Hempstead. Secondly, to remind ourselves that God thinks, this is how God thinks about our town. This is what God says about our town. I love Hemel Hempstead. Incidentally, these mugs are still for sale, £5 each. You can give to your friends and family, but I won't dwell on that. I want us to think for a moment, what positives about Hemel Hempstead can you think of? And I'm going to ask the young people, yes, and any children as well, but what do you like about living in Hemel Hempstead or this area? Because I know some people actually don't live in Hemel Hempstead, but what positives about living in this area or in living in Hemel Hempstead? What do you like about this town? Gedbridge Park. I knew the park would be up there somewhere. Yep. One of the first things. Sorry? Oh yes. Sorry, Henry VIII was here. Yes, that's right. Yeah, did he actually scrawl some graffiti, did he? Yes. From his visit? No, okay, perhaps not, no. Okay. Yep, lovely countryside, absolutely. Yes, yep. Liberty Tea Rooms, yep, okay. A jewel in the heart of the town. Sorry, Debbie. Yep. Getting Baptist, yeah. We don't get too big headed, but yeah, absolutely. It is a good access to London, yes, that's right, yeah, indeed. Yep, it's not far away. Yeah. The water garden, yes, that's right, absolutely. Yes, that's a little treasure, isn't it? That's right, absolutely. Yeah. Schools aren't bad, yes, right, yes. You've got some good schools, yeah, absolutely. Perhaps not so good schools, but you know, so I couldn't possibly comment on, you know, not naming any names, but yeah. Right, the canal as well. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and with that as well, you got Boxmoor, haven't you, as well? That's another lovely green and pleasant area. Yeah, well connected for yes, going north as well. If you want to head north, well, you probably have to go into London to get there. Depending where you're going. Yes, it's true. Yes, Boxmoor Trust. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Paper mill. Oh yes, the history of the paper mills. That's right, absolutely, and all that. Yeah, excellent. The old town. That's right. Yes, the old town. I don't know whether you saw. There was something. Oh, that's right. Yeah, something again on the BBC News app about how Hemel Hempstead is becoming like the new Hollywood. You know, because so many films filmed here. But anyway, that's yeah. I think that's probably going a bit far, but you know. Yep. Okay, right. Jones House is still there. Yes, still standing. Right, that's good. Excellent. Brilliant. Yeah, I'm sure we can think of many other things as well, actually. But Jaden, Joey, anybody else? Jeremiah, wanna pitch in? You're not quite so enthusiastic about living here. Okay, that's often the way with young people. Isn't it? But there we are. Yes. Okay, I'm sure you would suggest stuff. I mean, there's been stuff suggested already, so got plenty to go on. Yep. Okay, well, we're gonna sing now our next, well, our first opening hymn, if you like, and this is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," because where we live can sometimes seem a bit barren, a bit like a wilderness, but like Jacob, we can be reminded of his dream. God is in this place. Jacob wakes up from a dream, and God is in this place. So, let's give thanks to God for Hemel Hempstead and for each other and for our church. And yeah, let's stand and sing. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Great hymn there by William Williams. Fancy having a name like William Williams. Yeah. Right, we're going to continue to worship as we take up our morning offering. Just to remind you, this is an offering for the work of the church. So any visitors here this morning, please don't feel obliged to give to this offering. Thank you. Fun with the offering. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. That's it, pop it up there. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you are the great I am. We thank you first for leading us and feeding us to this point. We thank you too for promising to lead us and feed us from now on. So we offer these gifts, as well as gifts given in other ways. And we do this knowing that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth. We pray now for the children and young people and their leaders. We pray that you would feed them and lead them and feed us with your living word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Brilliant. Okay, right. Okay. Just had a warning from Chris. They're doing the walls of Jericho this morning, so we might actually hear something. But that's fine. That's great. You know, the louder the better in some ways. Okay. So over to Kathleen for our notices now. I think looks like she's been just been given some updates. So, okay. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, just last-minute instructions, it's all too much for me. Right, there are going to be two Lent courses running. The first one will start this Thursday evening, that's the 8th of February. It will be on Zoom, and it runs every 2 weeks. Both Lent courses are following Embrace the Middle East, and we'll be studying hope and healing. If you want to join us on Zoom on the Thursday evening, please speak to Charlene. The second course will be run on a Monday morning, again on Zoom. That starts on the 19th of February. And if you want to join that, please speak to... Oh, Jill's gone. Yes. Well, it's going to be one of these mornings, isn't it? Toddler's help. Tamsin is looking for help for four Fridays. I think it begins on Friday, the 16th of February, for four Fridays. Because Colin will be missing, he's the main helper. So if anybody can help out with the toddlers group on a Friday morning, doing anything at all, you know, setting up, clearing up, giving out coffee, things like that, please speak to Tamsin. And again, she has disappeared to another room. So that's Tamsin and Jill if you want to speak to either of them. And that's all I've got to say for this morning. Everything else is on the newsletter.
Lane. Thank you. Just to mention, there will be something on the next week's newsletter, hopefully, about the Lent labyrinth. The labyrinth will be available for people to walk around, to follow the labyrinth during Lent, throughout Lent. And so it'll be open, the front foyer will be open every Sunday morning. That's the plan anyway, that's right. So people can pop through there if you feel you'd benefit from a time of walking around the labyrinth and thinking upon Lent themes during that time. It's a good opportunity to be quiet and be still before the Lord and to seek God. A couple of other things, that's right, yes. I have here four candles, you know, you know the reference, okay. I was reading the news app again this morning, and there's a vicar in Cambridgeshire who is actually collecting all his church candles to send them to Ukraine. Okay, so actually, hopefully, we'll be able to do the same. Send all our, because there are quite a few church candles we've got that probably not using anymore. So these go to Ukraine to help people who haven't got any energy or electricity. So actually, it's a good way for them to have a bit of light. Bless them. So, So if you've got any candles like that could fit the bill, then perhaps we'll make a collection. And finally, to mention the listening day to do with faith and sexuality. I've got a list of all those who are taking part, and if you haven't as yet put your name down here, whether you're coming or whether you're not, please do so. We're going to hand this round again like we usually do. There may not be many more to add, but Anyway, so if you want to just put your name down, if you're coming on, if you're not coming, and then we'll go from there. Okay, it's good to have an idea of how many people are coming on the 17th of February. That is the listening day. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Catherine. Oh, okay. Right. One more thing. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, this is what I was trying to figure out, but now that I've got the news sheet on the news sheet, the very last paragraph is about Baptists being called to prayer. Now, the last line gives you the link on the web, and it's praying together. There's a slight misprint. There should be no Y. So it reads praying togethery. Just ignore the Y.
Yes, sure. Okay, thanks, Kathleen. Thanks. It's good to have that clarification. Yep, lovely. Okay, right. Okay, over to Margaret, who's going to read to us from the prophet Isaiah. Yep, thank you.
Our first lesson this morning is speaking from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. Our next hymn, God has spoken by his prophets. God is speaking. Hallelujah. God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word. Each from age to age proclaiming God the one, the righteous Lord. In the world's despair,
God has spoken by Christ Jesus Christ.
Over to Charlene now for our second reading. This is from John's Gospel. Thanks, Charlene.
Good morning, church. We are reading from John chapter 1, verse 35 through to 50. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Praise be to God with the reading of his word.
My talk this morning is entitled "The Tender, Gentle Kindness of God and Greater Things?" The other week I revisited Beech and Grove Baptist Church in Watford. It's a long time since I've been there. I don't know, has anyone here been to Beech and Grove in Watford? Beech and Grove, okay, right, well, one or two of you. Okay, well, wonderful, right. Worth a visit if you can find a parking spot. But I left feeling glad for two reasons. Glad I'm not at a church like that with such a huge premises on such a difficult spot. More importantly, while I was there, enjoying worship with my fellow Baptist ministers, God gave me a word. Yes, just one word. A particular word which first came to me when Chris, my wife, was going through her radiotherapy treatment at Mount Vernon Hospital just before COVID. It was a word which meant a lot to me at the time. And the other week, God reminded me of this word. That word was held. Held. In all that we go through, we are being held by our God. For all the drama of Isaiah 40, of an important message being proclaimed to all people, a loud and dramatic vision of mountains being leveled and a highway for God being made through the wilderness, for all that, we are left with this wonderful picture of the promised Messiah coming with power, but coming like a shepherd. Here is Isaiah's foretelling of our Saviour, the Good Shepherd, Jesus who holds the little lambs close to his heart. This is the kind of holding we all need, isn't it? Not the vice-like grip of a mighty and steely God, but the gentle and intimate embrace of a God who is both our Father and our friend. At the end of the first chapter of John's Gospel, before he's even begun his public ministry, we have this simple exchange. Jesus' first words to Philip and Andrew as they decide to follow him rather than John the Baptist are very direct. It's a very direct and pointed question, this. What do you want? What do you want? And they don't really know what it is exactly they want. So instead, they just ask Jesus where he is staying. Indirectly, they are saying, we want to spend time with you. So we must ask ourselves two questions. Helpful questions as we prepare to journey through the season of Lent. First, how much time are we spending with Jesus? We're all so busy, aren't we? Very busy, perhaps too busy, for all sorts of perfectly good reasons. And yet what is best, what is most needed, what is of first importance, so often gets elbowed out. We all struggle to find time and space for God, don't we? One of the reasons we may struggle with this is because, like Philip and Andrew, we're not always very clear about what we want from Jesus or want of Jesus. Yes, we have all sorts of prayer requests to bring, plenty of these. I'm sure you can reel off a long list of names and situations you'd like to pray for. But once we've brought all these, we may find that Jesus is still looking at us, still waiting for something more from us. So our second question is simply this. What do we want of Jesus? What is it that you want of God? And I think both our passages today give us our answer. I don't want to kind of, give your answer for you, but there is a possible answer here. We all want a God who is both all-powerful, but also kind and gentle and tender to all. It's a miraculous and paradoxical combination, something which is uniquely true of our God, of our Saviour Jesus, meekness and majesty. Jesus' next words to Andrew and Philip are these, come and you will see. Like them, we don't really know where we're going. We don't really know what we want. But like them, we can respond to the kind invitation of Jesus. Something in us rises to this intriguing promise of Jesus, come and you will see. The other wonderful part of this story is that both Andrew and Philip are able to echo the invitation of Jesus. Andrew invites his brother Simon. This is the first thing he does straight after he spent time with Jesus. He invites his brother. And then, having been told by Jesus, follow me, Philip invites his friend Nathanael with these words, come and see. They both believe they'd found something extra special. Good news they wanted to share. They believe they'd stumbled upon the Messiah, no less, the promised one of God. Someone worth taking a look at. Someone worth spending time with. One of the most obvious things to emerge from our quick congregational survey last month about the priorities for Carey this year was this. We want to see Carey reaching out into our community in different ways. And you can see a small summary of some of the responses to that survey on the board there. Okay, so quite a lot of those plates that we passed around and passed back had the words, something about, we need to reach out to the community. We need to see this church grow. We need to reach out in the name of Jesus so we can see people coming to faith in Jesus. And how is this most likely to happen? Simply this, by us doing what Andrew and Philip did. They invited those they knew. They invited people closest to them. Come and see. And their little group suddenly doubled in size. Now I wonder, how would we react if our church doubled in size overnight? For a start, we'd no longer be able to meet here on a Sunday morning, unless, of course, we decided to have two worship services in a week or whatever, I don't know. But we wouldn't be able to worship here anymore, would we? We'd have to think about moving back into the sanctuary. It would be a challenge for us all. Jesus brings growth. Jesus brings change. And both change and growth are a challenge to us, can be an uncomfortable challenge to us, as it was to Nathaniel. Nathaniel started by protesting, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Not long after, having spoken with Jesus, having felt he was seen and completely understood by Jesus, Nathaniel then equally loudly declares, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." This is a confession which predates the public ministry of Jesus, and it comes sometime before Simon Peter makes his good confession about Jesus. So quite a turnaround for Nathaniel. This truthful Israelite, Nathaniel, suddenly has his mind and heart opened to the presence of God. Which raises another question for us this morning. Who on earth is Nathaniel? Who is this guy? We know he's from Cana in Galilee. Otherwise, we know so very little about him. These here in John chapter 1 are the only words that are recorded, I think I'm right in saying this, are the only words recorded in the Gospels or the book of Acts from Nathaniel. But he's there at the very beginning. He's the first to make the good confession that Jesus is the Son of God. He's there at the end when the risen Lord Jesus appears to a small group of disciples by the Sea of Galilee. So why don't we see and hear more of Nathaniel? It is, after all, to Nathaniel that Jesus personally promises, "You will see heaven open, you will see greater things." I guess one answer to the question is simply this. Not all of us are Peters or Pauls, are we? In fact, most of us aren't. Many of us don't get to have our names up in lights or our stories recorded, and yet Jesus sees us and knows us. This is the good news, that like Philip and Nathaniel, we have all been given a personal invitation. Come and see. Follow me. This is our personal good news, which we can also share with those we know. We follow a saving God who sees us and knows us and loves us perfectly, despite our own imperfections. We follow a God who is almighty and holds all things. We follow a God who promises that we will see heaven open and that we will see greater things. Nathaniel's complete story is unwritten, but it is held and remembered in the mind of God. Meanwhile, our unwritten stories are not yet complete. God is still writing our stories. We might not know exactly where we're going or what we want, but with Jesus as our good shepherd, we can write an amazing story together as we journey on into 2024. Jesus' promise to Nathaniel and to us in 2024 is that if we continue to follow him, we will see heaven open, we will see greater things. Now I believe that despite all that's going on in our world right now, perhaps because of it, that our churches, that our world will see revival this year. We will see revival this year, I believe. Something I encourage you to pray about this Lent. But let's not get too carried away about this hope of revival, this expectation of greater things. Because at the end of the day, we're brought back to this insight from Nathaniel. What greater thing is there than this? To see and to know that God cares deeply and intimately for each one of us and all creation. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing a song now. Holy and Anointed One. And hopefully another time Prince will introduce us to his song, All the Glory. I was hoping he might be here today, but obviously the children have ruled otherwise, I think, maybe. But Holy and Anointed One. This is a very well-known song from some years ago, but churches are revisiting this one and rediscovering it. Thank you. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer together. Also a time of open prayer, if we feel so led. Possibly sharing as well. But so let's start with a prayer together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do not always know what to ask for in our prayers, for there is so much we do not know or understand. Yet we do know that you are active in our world, moving in human hearts and in the events of history to fulfill your purpose. So we come now to you, and in quiet faith, we place ourselves and our world into your hands, asking that your will may be done, despite everything that conspires against it. All things are yours. We entrust them into your keeping. And now we'll allow a time of quiet. And if anyone would like to pray out loud, short prayers, the point, and I encourage you to speak up. And then I'll pray a blessing of all the congregation, and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. But if you feel Lord is leading you to share something or to pray, then just, if you're going to pray, just shout it out. but if you want to share something, perhaps raise your hand and I'll bring round a microphone so everyone can hear what you want to share with us. Then I'll close in prayer and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray and let's hear what God might be saying to each one of us and to our congregation this morning. Sounds like Eva's praying for all of us. Amen. Bless you, Rafa.
Lord God Almighty, we want to thank you for this wonderful privilege to come in your presence, Lord. We just ask that, as it is written, that you are the God of the nations, that you would look with your mighty, merciful, powerful eyes in your power and bring restoration into the troubled world. We pray, Father God, that as everyone is looking for peace, you are the Prince of Peace. And so we look to you. Man has failed, but you are the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And you have the power, Lord. And we just thank you, mighty God. We bless your holy name. We acknowledge you. We are grateful to what you're doing. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. We love and appreciate you. Accept our praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's something I'd like to share with you. A message I had just this morning from Phil. I'll just call him Phil. He's out in Afghanistan. He's a BMS missionary. Let me just read this. I hope you're well. It's been too long since I emailed you. I'm sorry about that. Things have been particularly busy over here these past few months as we've been dealing with a security incident in Afghanistan. Due to the confidential nature of this situation, I'm unable to share more details, but I'm pleased there has been some level of resolution. The road ahead is still uncertain, but I want to give glory to God for how he's been working in the situation and for his faithfulness. I know I've not given many details, but please do be praying for this situation. Pray for wisdom for us as a leadership as we make difficult decisions and pray for his protection. Our female teacher training program is coming to an end as the current cycle has finished. Despite the challenges to female education, many of the teachers that we've trained are still able to work, either teaching younger ages or conducting informal community-based education classes. We hope that the training they've received will equip them to teach the next generation of children, despite the challenges that they face. In Kabul, we're trying to recruit some senior Afghan staff. Please pray that we find the right people for the job. We're also glad to be having some new international team members join us over the coming months. In my last update, I wrote about the earthquakes that had happened in the west of this country. The organisation that I'm seconded to were able to raise £150,000 for relief efforts, and that has been a big focus of our work over the past few months. We have also had a project in the north of the country providing relief to those being forcibly returned to Afghanistan from Pakistan, and I've attached a picture showing some of the distribution work happening there. Thank you for support. Do please pray for Phil and for Liz and their family, who are the children, are both here in the UK, but Phil travels out periodically to Afghanistan. So do pray for Phil and Liz. Lord God, it seems almost like we're speechless because there is so much to pray for, so much to pray about, so many people on our hearts and minds and situations too. But Lord, we thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's join together by saying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision.
Heavenly Father, we look to you. You are the source of life. Fill us with your light and love, we pray. Let us see the greater things you promise we will see. And now go with us as we walk with you in the fellowship of light, today and in the coming days. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.